Nation, Manx Radio.
This is Judith Lay welcoming you to Manx Radio and to the podcast of this week's edition of At Your Service.
Manx Radio.
It's a magazine-style programme today with an invitation to a great night out, a dip into a new book and an inspiring little story that shows how a simple act can quickly turn into something much bigger. But let's start with some music. And although those eggs are probably all eaten now, the church is still very definitely in the season of Easter. So let's have a hymn to celebrate that Jesus has conquered death and has risen to new life. Christ triumphant, ever reigning. The St. Michael Singers and Christ Triumphant, Ever Reigning. It's a long time since our local Christian Aid representative, Louise Whiteleg, has been on this programme. Unfortunately, Louise was very ill for the greater part of last year, but happily she's making a great recovery and is back in the studio again today, full of the joys of spring and full of the latest news as Christian Aid says farewell to Burundi, where so much has been achieved through the generosity of the Manx public, and now the charity asks us to turn our attention to a brand new project in a different country. It's Malawi. So you could say we're at a crossroads, aren't we, Louise? Because we're celebrating the end of one Christian Aid project and looking forward to a new one. Tell us a little bit more.
Well, On the 12th of April, we've got a fantastic evening planned because it's 5 years. Can you believe it? 5 years we've been working with Burundi. And finally, it's time to say goodbye to Burundi. But we can't just leave it at that. We've got so many memories and so many things that this little island has achieved in Burundi with so much generosity from the Manx people, our churches, the Alemán government.
The wonderful Harry Owens, our own expert in beekeeping, discovered that Burundi was the perfect place for beekeeping, but they didn't have the expertise. And so, to cut a long and successful story short, he went out, taught them what they should be doing, because Christian aid work is all about making people self-sufficient. It's not handouts. It's about lifting people up and giving them security and continuity, isn't it?
They know what it's like to live where they live. They know what help they need. And when Harry went over to Burundi, it was such a fantastic partnership and collaboration. It was all his knowledge and all their need for knowledge. And he went over and he trained all these women in how to look after the bees. He trained young men in how to build the beehive so they weren't reliant on imports from Uganda. And he trained women on how to make the beekeeping suits to keep them safe. Oh, but you know, I'm so getting ahead of myself on that one, because Harry's going to be there himself to tell us all about his exploits on this evening. There was all sorts of other projects as well. We did a fantastic one where we gave ladies bikes. Do you remember? To do the health promotion so the nurses could get out into the remote villages. And it doesn't sound like much, but we also broke through a glass ceiling that was in Burundi because no women had bikes. The men had bikes. So to give these women bikes, that was breaking through barriers as well. There's so many more stories that it's just such a blessing just to be able to sit down and just remember some of these highlights and congratulate ourselves on what we managed to achieve. Goodness me, it was COVID as well that we've worked through. And yet still the good work's continued. Projects with young people in agricultural projects, the cook stoves. You have to remember Marshmallow Lady with the cook stoves. The cook stoves are going strong. Do you know, we've made nearly 14,000 cook stoves in the kilns that have been made by Isle of Man support. Amazing, just amazing.
Again, coming back to this Christian aid philosophy, that it's teaching people to work themselves out of poverty, to be shown how to work. And with that comes dignity and independence and an altogether better lifestyle. And that's what you've left behind in Burundi, isn't it?
It is. It's fabulous. And it's a model that Christian aid has honed over the years. So there's a need identified within the community. Our partners and our team members that we have in the country work with the community and we work around the problem that they have. We bring the people together. We form cooperatives with those people and it's the members of the community that form the cooperative. And then we work on the issue. So this year's Christian Aid Week project is something called Pigeon Peas. The puns are going to be coming thick and fast, I'm sure. So with pigeon peas, they're a specific type of legume that is grown in southern parts of Malawi. And they're particularly special because they're drought resistant. But there's also all sorts of stuff that you can do with them, including turning them into bread. But one of the challenges the people in Malawi have at the moment is that they're trying to grow the peas separately themselves, so they're growing in small quantities. The seeds that they have are of poor quality. They're struggling with the effects of rapidly changing climate in the area. So the concept for this Christian Aid Week appeal is that we're going to work with these lady farmers. We're going to teach them how to make fertilizer, how to look after the crops. We're going to form a cooperative. There'll be a barn where they can keep the products safe. And then you've got buying power. So people bring the peas in when they're ready for harvest. We put it all together and then the small farmers can then help to compete with the larger market, get a larger market share. It's a big project, which is all going to start with a little tiny pea.
It sounds the perfect project for enriching a community. And is there a big demand for the product?
Yes.
Louise, let's just focus on the night that you're talking about, the 12th of April. Now, is this open to everybody?
Everybody and anybody is absolutely more than welcome. It's going to be a really special night. So we're at St Andrew's URC Church in Douglas, so there's loads of parking. It's on the 12th of April, and it's going to start at 6:30 with a Malawi supper.
So that's kind of setting the seal for the country that we're now going to be focusing on for the next year.
Absolutely. This is Christian Aid's focus for the year, but it's also about celebrating what we've achieved in Burundi. So I'm going to run through some of the highlights and share some of the lovely imagery we've got and the lovely testimony and the lovely photographs. Harry's going to join us and tell us about some of his exploits. And it's also the day where the Isle of Man Post Office is launching a special range of B stamps. So we're going to have those first day issues there. And again, with thanks to Harry Owen's leadership, who worked as the Bee Disease Officer for the Isle of Man government for so many years.
I think the byword for the 12th of April, Louise, is fun, isn't it?
Yes, it's going to be a perfect evening.
Just be warned, you're very, very welcome. But the puns will be coming thick and fast. Louise Whiteleg, Christian Aid representative. In addition to the wonderful work that you do with huge enthusiasm for Christian Aid, you are also a Methodist local preacher. The two things are so intertwined for you, aren't they? Putting your faith into action.
Absolutely. One of the things that drew me into the Methodist Church was the social responsibility. John Wesley's do all you can, where you can, when you can, whenever you can. It just resonates through me. I find our faith that we share, not just in the Methodist Church, but wider on the island, I just find it a joy and so uplifting to see how hard people work. And not just for charities like Christian Aid, but all the churches across the island doing so much good work to hold people in love, to lift people up when they need help. The warm spaces that the churches are providing, the friendly faces, just that bit of support. I think it goes to contribute to making the island the wonderful place that it is.
Quick reminder that the celebration evening open to everyone is this coming Friday, April the 12th, starting at 6:30 in St Andrew's United Reformed Church by the St Ninian's traffic lights on Glen Crutchery Road here in Douglas. The evening will start with a Malawi-themed supper. Then there'll be stories about Burundi with guest speaker Harry Owens, beautiful singing from Cat Mills, and the introduction of the new Christian Aid project in Malawi. The evening is free, but there'll be an opportunity to make a donation to Christian Aid if you wish. Christian Aid's Louise Whiteleg mentioned just now that for her, faith and practical action go hand in hand. And that's a view that's shared by my next guest, Reverend Leslie Newton, who is chair of district, or leader, of the Methodist churches in North and East Yorkshire, and who joins me now to talk about a book that he's just published. But before that, let's meet the man himself.
Well, I was born a Methodist, if I can put it as bluntly as that. My mum and dad were Methodists in Morecambe. I grew up in the Methodist church, and during my teenage years, when many young people perhaps fall away, I didn't, because my best friends were at church, so there was never any reason to leave the church. My friendship group was based there. As I came through late teenage years, I had to work out whether I was there for the right reasons, so I had to a bit of a struggle about what my faith was all about. That was crystallized wonderfully, and so through my 20s I grew in my faith. I was also training to be an accountant, became a chartered accountant, and during my late 20s there was a kind of a, oh God, are you really calling me into the ministry struggle going on, which went on for a couple of years. I really struggled with it because I felt like I was at home making a contribution in the local church in Morecambe. I'd put a lot of blood, sweat and tears into becoming an accountant. So, you know, there was a bit of a cost account along the way. In the end, I thought, oh, I just need to test this and see what happens. So candidated for the ministry and the rest is history, as they say.
Where were you after ordination, Leslie?
We started ministry in Barnsley in South Yorkshire and then moved over to Stockport, and then I moved back into York as superintendent and then have more recently become chair of the district over there.
So interesting, different areas.
Yes, absolutely.
But now overseeing quite an area and quite a challenge then.
Well, it is, and it's a very different role. About 200 churches covering a lot of North Yorkshire, East Yorkshire, Hull, York, Scarborough. A lot of different contexts, a lot of rural places as well. So a real mixture, which is wonderful.
Have you got a good team?
I seek to serve them, you know, and I mean, there's some wonderful people in the church. Always has been, always will be. You know, it's a great delight to try and do all I can to encourage them and to enable them to flourish.
Where are you seeing the areas of growth, Leslie?
Well, that's interesting. I think, in general terms, kind of on the edge, you know, some of the inherited churches that have been big and have almost come to rely on thinking the future's assured are finding things a bit of a struggle. But then you find God bubbling up and doing a new thing on the edge with perhaps unlikely people or in unlikely places, and you just glimpse, you know, God doing new things, which is wonderfully exciting.
Do you think it's the areas where we can offer the strongest social outreach that we're making a lot of impact?
Well, I think that is true, yes. Where we are seeking to be relevant to the communities around us and the communities as they are now, not as they were a few decades ago. Because the gospel is good news now for all people, and where we're connecting people with people and serving them and loving them and sharing the love of Jesus, then I think absolutely anything can happen. You know, some of our buildings are wonderful servants of the gospel because they're alive throughout the week and they're places where people gather and find life and support and help. And the more that that's the case, the better. So there's something rich about us not being sort of a gathering community as a going community. Where we're spending our lives and finding ways to articulate the good news in that going, I think.
Leslie, tell me about your book.
Okay, so as Methodist ministers, we have a sabbatical of 3 months every 7 years. In 2021, I had mine, and I wanted to dig into the early sense of movement of the Wesleys and that amazing movement of early Methodism. John Wesley riding around on his horse, building all sorts of communities as people came to a new faith, forming communities locally, which, you know, some would say avoided us having a revolution in this country or a civil revolution. It was so powerful. And I wanted to scratch into that and say, so where are we now? And what could that say to us in the 21st century? And out of all of that came the encouragement within me to study more, to write more, and then ultimately to write a book. It took on all sorts of different directions than what I'd first envisaged, I think. I just really became a bit captivated by this thought that actually what was happening in 18th century England then has something to say for 21st century England now, and that we could, as the people called Methodists, be part of a rejuvenating movement of transformation. And what I'm not interested in is a history lesson so much as just capturing the wonderful principles that I think Wesley captured and lived out, you know, and that was about his motivation for spiritual transformation of people and communities and social transformation. That was just lived out in amazing ways. So that spiritual, social transformation about our relationship with God and our relationship with each other and a transforming relationship with the world is dynamite, and it still is.
And also simplicity, just keeping it straightforward.
It was absolutely that. So the simplicity of the message of, you know, God's love and God's grace being able to do amazing things within each one of us and transform us. And then together, as we commit to growing more in God, then our lives change and the difference that we can make in the community around us changes. You know, that was the magic. That was the amazing stuff that I think Wesley was digging into and enabling and liberating. And all of that is there for us to play for in the 21st century, I can put it as bluntly as that.
Everything to play for. How would you like this book to be used, Leslie? Who have you aimed it at?
But actually, it's a book that I wanted to write about the Methodism that I love. You know, I love and cherish the Methodist Church. And yet in so many ways, we can look at ourselves and say things aren't going as well as we might wish. And I think it's because perhaps we've lost a bit of confidence in what God can do amongst us. And we need to reclaim that confidence and some of that simplicity that Wesley had. I think that God still has a calling for the Methodist Church in the 21st century to be about rejuvenating that spiritual, social transformation in the world. I think we've got a part to play.
You said we've lost confidence. Do you think maybe we take too much on ourselves? We've lost the power of prayer, of saying to God, I can't do this myself, but you can.
I think absolutely that. You know, and any criticism I ever level at us, the Methodist Church, it's at me as well. You know, I've been in this for over 25 years now as a Methodist minister. You know, we do end up loving our strategies and our, let's have a program doing that, this and the other. And it's all well meant and well-founded and all the rest of it. But the danger is we start to think, if we can just sort out our programming a bit more, it'll be all right. And I think it's more and more, it's about relying on the grace of God and being open to God and taking seriously what God wants to offer us. And that's the transformational thing. That's the magic in this piece, God's grace in us that transforms our hearts, gives us the energy and the vision that we need.
And it seems only fitting that we should follow a conversation with Methodist minister Reverend Leslie Newton with a hymn written by Charles Wesley. I know that my Redeemer lives and ever prays for me. Reverend Leslie Newton is chair of district of the Methodist churches in North and East Yorkshire, and Revive Us Again by Leslie Newton is available to purchase online via Amazon as a Kindle edition to download and read immediately, or you can buy it in printed form also from Amazon. And of course, you can ask for it at Church's Bookshop, which you'll find inside St Thomas's Church on Finch Road here in Douglas. Use the side entrance to St Thomas's, opposite the old school, which will take you directly into the bookshop. And speaking of St Thomas's Church, something very exciting is happening there later this month. It's something everyone can share in and enjoy. And Vicar of St Thomas's, Reverend Liz Hull, will be joining me on the programme next week to tell us more. Now, Cafe Lingo opens its doors every Saturday morning in the Promenade Methodist Church here in Douglas and offers a relaxed and friendly welcome to anyone for whom English isn't their first language. This is the perfect place to learn not only the language, but all you need to know if you're a newcomer to help you make the most of island life. It's all free of charge and there's even a creche, so children are welcome too. A few weeks ago, Cafe Lingo founders Karen and Tim Norton joined me on this programme on the eve of their retirement to look back over their 8 years of leadership. there was one story that I thought would be appropriate to save and share with you as a new term with new leaders begins this coming Saturday. I asked Karen Norton if there was anything she'd done at Cafe Lingo that had produced an unexpected result.
It would have to be the rucksack project, which was a surprise and a very moving one. Tim was watching the television and saw Di Redmond, the children's author. She wrote books like Postman Pat and Bob the Builder. And she'd written a book which was translated into Ukraine as well. It was a dual language book for children about the Ukraine war, about a little boy putting his world into a rucksack and then the journey to a safe place and losing the rucksack. But it has a hopeful ending. I don't want to spoil it for anybody who might want to read it. But Tim mentioned this to me and I thought, what we need to do is give every Ukrainian child refugee on the island one of these books. So we liaised with the Ukraine support team to work out numbers, etc. And Tim ordered enough and a few extra books from the charity Children and War UK, who had sponsored this book.
We were able to buy the books because of a generous donation from a local hotel.
And because we'd ordered so many books, they contacted us and said, we can't come to see you because you're too far away. We're based in the south of England, but we would like to be involved in the presentation of these books to Ukrainian child refugees. And so it evolved. And on a Sunday, we had this amazing event. It was helped by Colin from the Manx Museum. He was our techie person. And we ended up with three layers of Zooms going on. And there was a psychiatrist and psychologist from Children and War UK. They could speak Ukrainian. And they spoke to the hosts and the parents of the children, asking them whether there were any problems on Zoom that they could help with. And while that was going on, we were upstairs with the children and two fluent Ukrainian speakers. One is a Cafe Lingo volunteer and the other became a Cafe Lingo volunteer. And a link was made to the author. So the author read the story to the children, you know, the children there, and it was translated by Luba, a refugee from Ukraine, and also Oksana, who's been living on the island for a while. She was with the children supporting them, and it was giving the author chance to give background information, but it was giving the children chance to express what had happened to them. And then, surprise of all surprises, within that Zoom came another Zoom, and this was the book illustrator who was at that very time in a cellar in Ukraine with her golden Labrador, and behind her, attached to the wall, were sketches, several of which were illustrations in the book. I couldn't believe this was actually happening, but the important thing was that it gave the children chance to release their feelings and share them in a safe way. It gave the parents a chance to discuss with the psychologists what issues there were from the trauma of the children having to leave so suddenly. So it was just almost a surreal event that was there to support Ukrainians on all sorts of different levels. And it did, and we just let it all happen, and it was just amazing. I think that's the way Cafe Lingo's been, though. You respond, and either it doesn't work, and that's fine, or it works in a bigger way than you could have ever imagined, and you think, that's got to be God in there, because that's not us. We're just facilitating privilege to be used, isn't it?
Thank you to Cafe Lingo founders Karen and Tim Norton. And a reminder that Cafe Lingo starts a new term with its new leaders and its regular band of volunteers in the Promenade Methodist Church this coming Saturday, the 13th, at 10 o'clock. And now let's take a look at the rest of our notice board, beginning with services and events later today. Castletown Metropolitan Silver Band will be in Castletown Methodist Church to give a concert starting at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Admission is free, but donations for church funds would be welcome. There'll be light refreshments and a raffle too. and the Mariners Choir will be in Port St Mary Methodist Church tonight for a service starting at the usual time of 6:30 when Mrs Pauline Corlett will preach, and the service will be followed by supper and community hymn singing. And looking ahead to next Sunday, April the 14th, it's the annual service of blessing for the beekeepers in Selby Methodist Church at 10:30 next Sunday morning. The worship will be led by Derek, music will be provided by Crosby Silver Band, and guest bagpiper Alistair Lothian will be there too, with an opportunity for you to meet and chat with the beekeepers over refreshments after the service. And next Sunday night, the Mariners Choir will be in Abilands Methodist Chapel for a service at the usual time of 6:30. Mrs. Brenda Kinnish will preach, Mrs. Jane Corkill is a soloist, and this will be the only service in Abilands next Sunday. No afternoon service there next Sunday. And that's all we have time for now. But I'll be back later in our virtual lounge tonight from 9 o'clock onwards with our usual mix of easy listening music, your requests and your dedications. And I'd love you to join me if you can. And so, until whenever we meet again, this is Judith saying thank you for listening, and I wish you and those you love a blessed and peaceful week and a very good morning.